702
on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za.
The 702 app.
And on DSTV channel 856.
We're on the line with Ricardo Coutier, who's head of auto and general, who's head of auto and general insurance. Ricardo, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Watanga, and good morning to all your listeners.
It's quite a difficult topic that we're speaking about, your home, your security, your family. You do want to make sure that at all costs, you avoid a situation where there is an intruder in your household. Can you give us the context at the moment? How prevalent are burglaries, and what is the trend in South Africa right now when it comes to home safety?
Yes, Watanga, home and business invasions remains a serious threat, unfortunately, in South Africa. And one of our biggest enemies is the notion that it cannot happen to me, okay? Mm-hmm. What we see is many of these crimes are planned, the criminals, but they also will strike at any opportunity that they get. So I think we would like to advise, share with the listeners that it's important that we take proactive steps to protect themselves and their families, for example. What we've seen from a report that Fidelity ADT did for us recently is that there's also a couple of new trends that we've picked up, for example, invasion trends. If you don't mind, I'll mention a couple of them. First of all, that criminals are now these days often use our staff or the staff of either your household staff or business staff by manipulation or force to gain access to premises. They also target gate motors as one of the prime targets. You know, it's easy to remove, it's easy to sell. And also that we see that invasions these days are also taking place during the day. And, you know, maybe a couple of years back, people used to think invasions happen at night, but these days our trends is picking up that it's also happened during the day. And business robberies, especially the business owners, are on the rise, especially in Gauteng. We've seen a trend where it's between 6 and 9 in the evening that businesses are becoming specifically a target. So these are the trends that we've seen, and it's important that the listeners and the out there in the public are aware of these to protect themselves and their workers.
Ricardo, what is a house's first defense, whether it be a business or a private home?
I think what we've seen, unfortunately, we would like to advise business owners and homeowners to have a layered approach to security. Unfortunately, you cannot rely on just one security measure, okay? So this is a couple of tips that we would like to share to how you can use this layered approach. For example, Osang, is that the first, what we call it, the first act of your defense is to have a sturdy perimeter wall or fence. A fence, although it sounds basic, but it's a great that you first give you privacy, first of all. People can see into your property, but it's also your first line of defense. Also, we like to advise the public to make sure they have sturdy access gates and doors, you know, especially gates that can work remotely and can close quickly because, as I said, criminals are opportunists. You park your car, you want to get out and open your gate. That's the opportunity they will grab to target you. Electric fencing is also a further deterrent. It gives you an extra security barrier.
Is electric fencing affordable, Ricardo? Is it affordable and accessible, considering the fact that we have power cuts at the moment? I'm just wondering, load shedding, how much has it impacted home and business security?
Yeah, I think some of the electric fencing do have some backup battery power. Obviously, but if your load shedding is for an extended period, it may not be as effective, you're right there, Sanga. I think what you're saying with electric fencing is just another extra security barrier. You can't rely on that only because of the as you said, the load shedding impact. The same as your security beams, again, that offer you additional, like an early warning system, as we'll call it.
Yes.
You know, if somebody gets into your property, the beams pick up and give you and your security company additional time to react, same as alarms. Another basic one that, you know, don't need money is keep your property clean. And how you're referring that is that, you know, identify possible hiding places, you know, cut away trees and branches. Don't leave your garden tools in, you know, around your property because we've seen that some of these things can be used against you and to get inside to your property. So that, without spending money, make sure your trees and your branches is cut, your property is clean, nobody can hide. You know, and that also give you some additional peace of mind in terms of making it not as easy for criminals to surprise you there.
Ricardo, I know that I'm a big fan of community-based policing. What would you say a good practice is for a neighborhood watch? And if I want to be part of the solution in my neighborhood, would you say that neighborhood watch is a good idea?
They're brilliant because it's also cost-effective. I think if we look at some of the, I've talked about the alarm system that's linked to armed response company. Unfortunately, these do cost money.
Mm-hmm.
So where neighborhood watch actually almost perform that kind of function. What we see in a lot of neighborhoods got WhatsApp groups. They work effectively where people keep in touch with each other. And if neighborhood watches, especially if they link with the local police, station, they build great relationships with the police. So using the WhatsApp group, using your neighbors as your eyes and ears in your neighborhood, to keep an eye, and the police as your backup, that is also effective for Sangha to keep your community safe at a very cost-effective.
Ricardo, you mentioned something that is quite prevalent. I often say that security guards and I think staff that work and maintenance and cleaners are underpaid. Don't you think that underpaying them then creates an opportunity for them to be propositioned by would-be burglars who might try to break into your household? How do you work around that?
I think that's a tough one, Wasang. But I think when you employ or
even kidnapped, you don't want to say that they're all compliant. You mentioned a family could be kidnapped, they could be held ransom, and then certain very important features of your security devolved to potential criminals.
I think our workers and our household staff, we should always treat them with necessary respect. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Because they form part of your household. If you treat them with respect, and very important, involve them in some of your security discussions.
Mm.
The family is close to them. They look after you. You look after them. So
fair.
I think it's important from a relationship point of view. But also, when you onboard any new staff, it's important to do proper screening also. Okay? Mm. Unfortunately, there is always the risk that somebody may compromise your security. But onboarding of new staff, check references, do proper, as I said, that also helps sort of proactively to manage that you don't onboard somebody that can be potentially a risk to you and your family or your business.
Fair. Thank you so much, Ricardo. Kutsia is the head of auto and general insurance. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, Ricardo, and thank you for the insightful and very useful information.
Thank you, Masanga. Thank you to your listeners.